if somebody told me, oh, you know, all this medicine that you've been taking for 30 years, it's all nonsense. I'll treat you without medicine. How would you, you know, how would I feel? Like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not sure. I want the medicine, right? So I understand that perspective.
Hi, welcome to the first edition of Circe Health Pod. This is our exciting new podcast where we will tell you about new and upcoming developments in the lifestyle medicine field, which I will explain in just a little bit. And hopefully you'll enjoy the friendly banter between this guy and myself. We'll have some exciting guests and various other surprises to come. So stay tuned. But for today, let's get started. So I am Dr. Jenny Prabhu. I am the CEO and co-founder of Circe Health. I'll let my husband Ajoy introduce himself in just a bit. I have two MDs. I'm board certified in the US and in India in both internal medicine and pediatrics. Internal medicine is, as Ajoy likes to call me, a specialist of specialists. So I can manage anyone from diabetes to blood pressure problems, kidney problems, the list goes on. And those are adults. And then pediatrics is, of course, the treatment of kiddos. So that's me.
I'm Ajoy Prabhu. I have a degree in pathology, and I also have several other, you know, ancillary degrees, you can call it. I studied epidemiology at Johns Hopkins, and then I went back to business school and got my MBA also from Maryland. Just before we moved to India, I was the director of marketing for NIH, but within NIH, we were handling all the technologies for FDA, CDC also. So all 27 institutes of NIH, then FDA and CDC were all under my wing in terms of moving the technologies forward, inventions forward. And just before we moved again, I was also part of the White House, and I was helping them take all the data sets for all kinds of technologies and push it to the public so that it's easier for public to understand what those things mean. So that, in a brief, is my introduction. And since Dr. Jenny talked about lifestyle medicine, let me start the thing immediately with a question. So what do you think is lifestyle medicine? I mean, maybe people don't know what lifestyle medicine is because they're probably hearing it for the first time. Maybe you can tell them what lifestyle medicine is all about.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited to kind of introduce the concept of lifestyle medicine to India. I think not many people practice that here. It's basically a new branch of medicine, just like cardiology or endocrinology, which is the study of diabetes and that sort of thing. So lifestyle medicine is basically kind of just how it sounds. So you're treating medical problems or preventing medical problems with lifestyle changes, oftentimes hand in hand with medicines, until hopefully we can take you off your medicines completely. That's the goal. I'll get more into the details of that. But in addition to people that have diseases already and we want to make you healthier, I also think an important part of lifestyle medicine is prevention. So a lot of our patients come to us and they say, hey, my mom has diabetes, my father died from prostate cancer, my brother has bad arthritis. How can I prevent this from happening to me? So we teach you how to do that as well. And the good thing is, with both of our knowledges, we can treat kiddos to our oldest patient, which I'll talk about later, who's in his 80s now. All right. So now my question, speaking of lifestyle medicine, can you explain a little bit about the history of lifestyle medicine? And since your specialty is the medical research end, maybe some studies, but don't go into great detail.
I'll try.
This is for your sake.
I'll try. So 1908, no, this is really true. 1908.
There was, so you were just a small boy then, right?
Yes, I was a small boy then. 1908, there was a gentleman by the name of Metchnikoff, and he discovered that the people in his village, the ones that ate pickles and anything fermented, they didn't die as fast as the ones that did not. And he was wondering about why this is the case. And, you know, maybe it's because of fermented food. He was kind of like thinking the fermented foods are good. And he was onto something very good. Now I'm going to fast forward to another 30 years and tell you about an actual experiment that happened in history itself. Not in a lab, but actual history. So if you recall, those of who may have been alive at that time, I mean, certainly many of us were not. 1940 or so, Germany invaded Norway, and they took away all their livestock, their poultry, their beef, their chicken, their fish, everything. And then they said, you guys suffer because our German soldiers need to eat this stuff. So they took all the stuff away from Norwegians. But at that time, there was a very diligent Norwegian administrator that would keep track of all the deaths and the number of people that are living and number of people that were dying very diligently. And as days go by and went by, the Norwegians started eating barley, wheat, potatoes, whatever they could find, they would eat. But unfortunately, they could not eat animals. They could not have dairy. They could not have eggs. None of that. They could only have vegetables. And Germans were happy that they got the meat, right? What landed up happening was, as years went by, this gentleman noticed that there is a drop in the number of people dying. So the longevity of people in Norway started increasing like crazy. So if that is not proof enough, what happened in 1944 is that Germany lost the war. And Norwegian got back all their stuff. They got back their lamb, their sheep, their fish, chicken, everything they got back. And they started consuming it. Guess what? As soon as they started consuming it, you can see death rate go back up and their lifespan go back down. So it's a natural experiment that happened that shows you that actually plants help you live longer. Okay. Another example I want to give you, fast forward another 50 years, is 1998. There was a gentleman by the name of, Dr. Esselstein. Dr. Esselstein is a cardiologist, a cardiac surgeon, and he discovered that, he had some patients that who had arterial blockage in their heart. And for various reasons, this gentleman decided that I'm not going to take any medicines. So instead of giving him medicines, what he did was he started giving them plant-based foods. He prescribed plant-based foods to this gentleman. And there is this is the first actual case of, you can see the angiogram of completely blocked arteries in the heart, where the heart was not being able to pump properly. The muscles are all getting weaker and weaker as days went by. This patient went on completely plant-based medicine. And in 2 years' time, that artery is clean. There is actual evidence of this in scientific literature. You know, if anybody is interested, email me and I'll send you that image where you can see the thing completely blocked, and 2 years later, completely open. This is rarely happens with actual medicine. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. If that kind of an effect can happen in just with no medicine, using medicine.
Using medicine only, no. Using a stent, yes, but obviously that's much more invasive.
You want to tell what a stent is? Sorry,
a stent is basically like an angiogram, like Adoria was talking about, and the cardiologist goes in through one of your...
It's a pipe.
A pipe, yes.
Goes
in through one of your major arteries and puts a little...
Pipe.
Yes, thank you. A little pipe, for lack of a better word. And opens it up, so it opens up the blockage that's there. So yes, that is invasive, and there's many risks with that procedure, although it's used all the time. But obviously, a plant-based diet is much safer. I will say one thing I want to add is that this was the LAD artery, the left
yes.
anterior descending, also known as the widowmaker, which is basically one of the main coronary arteries, most important. So even that makes it even more exciting that this
what happens
happened.
To women if they have a heart attack? Is that still called a widowmaker?
Widow? You know, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one, Adoy. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I don't want to stop this. Since she gave me the mic forum to talk about the history, I want to add two small things. One is that I don't know how many people know about the blue zones. Blue zones are these zones. There are about five zones right now currently in the whole world, where the average age of humans is more than 70, average. If they don't last it 100 years, they think that they died early. These are actual places. Okinawa, Sardinia, I don't remember some of the, Ikaria in Greece, I believe.
Costa Rica.
And then a fifth one is Loma Linda in California. All these places have one thing in common. They all eat primarily a plant-based diet, plant-based. Like, for example, in Sardinia, they might add fish once in a while. In Okinawa, they might add small piece of pork once in a while. In Costa Rica, they might add some pork once in a while, or turkey once in a while. But generally speaking, 99.9% of their food is plant-based. And then there are other things also they do, but here is a clear-cut evidence that you eat more plants, you will last longer. Finished. End of story. Okay. It's not end of the story. One more thing I need.
It's never the end of the story.
The thing is, think about our... Now, in India, think about our own ancestors. Yes, they died early, but they died early primarily because of infections, etc. They, you know, a snake bit them, or, you know, they got major stomach issues or something like that. The infections kill them, not a chronic lifestyle-based disease that killed them. So they did not have diabetes, they did not have arthritis, they didn't have PCOS, they didn't have, blood pressure issues, and on and on and on.
Arthritis,
I mentioned that already. Inflammation. So I'll stop here, but I'm just saying that there is clear-cut evidence that plant-based diets are very good for you. Excellent for you. So I have a question for you now. And that is, what? So I talked about all these generalized things that, you know, nobody knows these guys. But can you talk from your own experience about your patients? I mean, I'm sure you and I know about it, but maybe the audience would like to know if you've had actual patients where these things have actually helped.
Yeah, I mean, we... Just like Ajoya, I could talk for hours about it, but I'll pick a select few of our more exciting cases. So I mentioned earlier about our oldest patient. When he came to me, this was back in the U.S., to switch his primary care to me, he had just switched to a plant-based diet. And I remember his family came to me and they were very concerned. He was 76 at the time. They were very concerned that this gentleman was switching to a plant-based diet, and they had all these concerns. Is he going to get enough nutrition? Will he have enough energy? Is it going to make him depressed? The list went on. And then finally his family left the room and he took me aside and he said, look, Dr. Prabhu, I really want to switch to this diet. I've read so much about it. Can you help me convince my family? So the two of us worked together, and over the years, actually over the months, we saw changes. When he started with me, he had diabetes on 3 medications. He had blood pressure issues. He actually had what we call peripheral arterial disease. So instead of plaque in the heart arteries, he had plaque in some of his longer leg arteries, the iliac artery, for example. Anyway, and that can cause pain, and blockages, just like you can have in your heart, can cause issues. He had some prostate issues also, sorry. So very common things we see in I encouraged him with his plant-based diet. And this guy went from vegetarian to vegan. He went from like eating meat. He's Filipino. So he went from eating lots of meat and dairy to whole food plant-based. So whole food means non-processed. So he was eating big bowls of beans, salads, fresh fruits, that sort of thing. And within a couple months, I took him off all of his diabetes medicine. So from 3 medicines to 0, which his family was very afraid of, but when they saw the results, they were excited. We actually saw improvement in his imaging studies of his arterial issues in his legs, which was huge. He was having pain from those blockages, and the pain improved. So he already was a gentleman that liked to walk on his treadmill, but he could, I want to say he tripled his distance within a couple months of walking on the treadmill. So that was a big tangible improvement for him, and it made him happy. It improved his mental health too. And his blood pressure medicine, at the time before we moved, I wasn't able to take him off completely, but I did. He was on just a very small dose of one medicine. So huge changes. His pill burden, as we say in doctor world, was significantly reduced, and his mental health was happier. And I think I probably convinced his family to switch to a mostly plant-based diet. I remember his granddaughter particularly asking me. So he's probably one of our star patients, and he's still doing well now, as far as I know. So that's one gentleman. In India, since we've been here, we've been lucky enough to consult with a couple patients. Another one of our star patients came to us. You know, she was a long-distance runner and very active, but was unfortunately diagnosed within the last couple of years with 2 autoimmune diseases, which is very unlucky. One called Sjogren's syndrome, which causes skin changes and heartburn, reflux, joint problems, and with the additional diagnosis of something called rheumatoid arthritis, which is an inflammatory condition causing severe joint pain and unable to use the joints and swelling and redness and that sort of thing. So, you know, she went from being a marathon runner to barely able to walk around the block, barely able to open
cupboards
and drawers and open containers. Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm going for. So, you know, very sweet lady, and we felt so bad. I still remember the first meeting we had with her. I felt terrible afterwards how her life had changed. So she also, although was and still is a very healthy eater, meaning didn't eat a lot of fat, but she had a fair amount of meat and a fair amount of dairy within her diet, despite having lots of whole grains and lots of fruits and that sort of thing. So we spoke to her again about switching, you know, trying to gradually phase out the dairy first, which I think made the biggest difference. And also, even now she has a small amount of meat, so it's similar to the blue zones that Ajoy was talking about. But overall, her diet is plant-based. And I still remember when she texted Ajoy and he forwarded it to me that I was able to go running at Joggers Park today for the first time.
And I'm dancing, she said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I actually almost... I got very emotional when she said that because.
But can you elaborate the fact that we were not thinking the Sjogren's part? We were not thinking that that would.
Yeah. I guess we hadn't found any studies. That. So we read about, especially with meat intake, how that can improve rheumatoid arthritis if you reduce your meat intake. But Sjogren's, we haven't seen much studies, if any. But she, our patient said, you know, wow, I noticed that my heartburn is significantly better, if not gone away. And that's a big part of Sjogren's. Also, you know, her skin changes improved and that sort of thing. So, you know, we're really excited to hear that. So hopefully that has good implications for other patients, other autoimmune diseases that a plant-based diet can help.
And we'll expand on what autoimmune diseases really are. But for now, we'll just say that, you know, it's like when a body attacks itself. That's all we'll say for now.
As you can tell, we're excited to share our great results with our patients with you, and I'm sure you'll hear much more about them and more in next several podcasts. So moving back to Ajoy, since I've now taken over. So you heard all these amazing results with a plant-based diet and with lifestyle medicine changes and so on. So how come people don't know about this? How come more doctors aren't recommending it? How come more people aren't going over to the dark side, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think what is when we tell people that we are trying to do this so that you don't have medicines and we are trying to treat you without medicines, the first reaction is, this is just some BS. This is mumbo jumbo. You're just making money off of us, and that's pretty much it. So, you know, it's a very dismissive attitude we get from people. And I don't blame them because, you know, if somebody told me, oh, you know, all this medicines that you've been taking for 30 years, it's all nonsense. I'll treat you without medicines. How would you, you know, how would I feel? I'd say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not sure. I want the medicine, right? So I understand that perspective. But what has happened in the last few years is that many, many physicians and researchers have started to go back into research and looking at the past literature and saying, hey, wait a minute, this guy was treated without any medicines and he's better because of some natural compound that was used, or, you know, maybe because of meditation that they did, or because they did more yoga, their arthritis went away. So they started looking at these things and saying, wait a minute, if you change your lifestyle in certain ways, it can help. Now, coming to your question about why people are not really, so there are two parts to it. One is people themselves are not exposed to the fact that you can do this. You really don't need chronic medication. Now, before I say this, I have to say, for acute issues, you have to, absolutely have to take medicine because that's the best standard of care right now. You know, if you break a bone, you're better off going to orthopedic surgeon. If you have something acute, like, for example, that happened, or an infection, you're better off coming to Jenny and saying, I have an infection, please treat me. And she might give you antibiotics, she might give you probiotics, whatever she'll do, but you need that, you need medications for those things. You have a snake bite, you should take an anti-venom for it, or go to Kerala, one of those guys that actually do it without anti-venom. But the point is that you need You need somebody to acutely take care of the acute problem. But chronic diseases, chronic meaning long term, long, you know, it goes for months and years. You don't need that. You need a way to reverse it naturally because it happened naturally. It happened over a time period of time. You need to use the same period of time or less period of time and kind of get rid of the condition that actually caused it. Coming to the crux of the matter, which is a little hesitant to say this, but I will say it. We prescribe vegetables, beans, and seeds and lentils, right? And leaves. No leaf manufacturer, no spinach manufacturer will give us money for saying this. No dal manufacturer will come and say, hey, prescribe more dal, because there's no money to be made. So you know where I'm going with this, right? So with medicines, what happens is, you know, you manufacture it for X number of rupees, and you sell it for, you know, 100 times X. So there's a lot of profit margin in it. So pharmaceutical companies, I don't want to, you know, put a blanket blame on them, but I think for chronic diseases, they should take up some amount of blame, saying that, you know, they are cranking up the price and because in the name of profitability, they are screwing up the lives of people. That's a very strong statement I'm making, but I will. The third part now, is that in medical curriculum, let me actually ask the doctor here. In the medical curriculum, did you have a course on foods, nutrition, yoga, meditation, mindfulness, etc.?
We had a very brief, maybe one day, delve into nutrition, and that's about it. One of my former colleagues in the U.S. was a nutritionist before she became a doctor, and I always used to go to her for advice because that's just something we aren't taught. Nutrition at all, / how nutrition can play a role in preventing and reversing diseases. So yeah, that's a huge deficit in medical education across the world.
Yeah. So we are now in kind of trying to talk to some medical colleges to see if we can come in there and kind of, you know, inform some of the professors that are teaching medicine about these issues and see if they can take it on, or perhaps we ourselves will go in and try to educate the medical students. We want to try this because we think that it's the right way to do it. So I think we've rambled enough today, so maybe we should kind of like slow it down. So what should the audience take away from today's discussion? I mean, what should they do next? I mean, are they going to just like, you know, twiddle their thumbs till we come up with a new podcast?
I mean, they can if they want, but that sounds pretty boring to me. So I would say we just want you to take away from today that lifestyle medicine is a thing, and that there are treatments and prevention for disease beyond pills. So we'll get a lot more into that in the series to come. But in the meantime, you can find out how healthy you are and what ways, how lifestyle medicine can help you, basically. So we're excited to introduce something called the Not cheesy at all. we have come up after many hours, days and nights of research and fighting, we came up with something called the CHI, or the Circe Health Index. And we have a quiz that you take on, which will be on our website shortly. And you can, you know, a couple minutes, you can determine what your lifestyle factors say about your overall health. And based on your results of that quiz can, I guess, help us help you. So it really is good insight for you, and maybe more questions and more subjects for our future podcasts. And also, coincidentally, on our website, we have another new baby of ours, non-human. It is called Tell Me at Circe Health. So just like when you want someone to explain something, you say, tell me, we will try to tell you various learning subjects related, again, to lifestyle medicine, not just plant-based foods, which I think we've talked about enough today, but there's many other aspects to lifestyle medicine. There's a whole learning portal on this part of our website. We'll have videos, we'll have master classes, we'll have question and answer sessions, we'll have leaflets, pamphlets, banners.
Okay.
Mugs, whatever you
No,
want.
We won't have mugs.
Maybe in the future we'll have mugs. So that's there also. Yeah. And So those are the two up and coming things where you can become more informed and hopefully more insightful about your overall health. So we're excited about that. I'll stop rambling and turn it over to Ajoy.
So thank you for giving the baton back to me. He gives it to me.
I give it to you.
So, the next podcast. The next podcast, we will have our friend and partner in crime, Chef Michael Swamy here, who will give you a perspective on food. How does he look at food and nutrition from a chef's perspective in terms of helping people live better lives? So I cannot wait for that podcast to happen. Since he's here, I'm actually getting hungry. So I'm hoping that he can do some magic enlighten us with his. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too.
From a chef's perspective.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you then.
Bye.
We really hope you enjoyed our conversation. Can you think about one thing or an idea that you can start to introduce into your own life that will help make your life healthier and less stressful?
If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd really appreciate it if you can take a few seconds to share the podcast with your friends and families. Thank you so much for listening.
And always remember, your health is literally in your own hands. Making lifestyle changes is not an easy task, but we promise you will be aptly rewarded with a long, healthy, and disease-free life.